The following podcast is a W2M Network original production. Visit W2Mnet.com for all of our other great podcasts, plus news, reviews, articles, and opinions from the worlds of wrestling, video games, football, and entertainment.
Hello and welcome to another edition of Video Games to the Max, episode 203, to be exact. I am your host, Sean Garmer, and here with me, as always, Mr. Mark Morrison.
Howdy.
And joining us for the first time, all of us together anyway, is Jens. How are you?
Hey, Sean. Thanks for having me.
Well, you guys did such a great job on Video Games to the Medium.
Yep.
That, I was like, well, we got to have Jens on, you know, constantly, so, or at least as much as we can.
Whenever I've got something to say, which is rare, but I've been playing something for once.
Well, you guys have been playing both the Days Gone, so we didn't get to talk about that much last time because Mark had literally played like an hour.
Yeah, I just got like 3 hours before we started.
Like, yeah, Amazon had shut up at his door, and I was like, were you going to play anything before we start? And he's like, I might play, like, a little bit.
Well, it shut up at my door, and then I went to install and update it, and then I put the PS4 into sleep, and then it didn't do anything. So when I finally went to play it, I was like, oh, no, now I have to install the game and then update it. And I was like, I did that already. Why didn't you work?
That game takes a long time to patch. It takes longer to actually apply the patch file than to download it.
No, it didn't do anything. It just sat there. And I was like, you're supposed to work.
It's also been getting a patch like every day, right?
And they're big.
Yeah. You want to start or you want me to?
You've encountered your first horde now. So you may be further than me as far as percentage.
Yeah. Have you met Lisa yet?
I have not.
Okay, then I'm way further than you, or at least marginally further. Yeah, I hit up a horde, which is not fun. I died a few times. And it was right next to this base that I had to kind of liberate, so it was not pleasant.
Are you working for the two? There's like the old lady and the merchant who run that camp together. That's the second camp you come across.
Yeah, well, there are two human camps. One is like the Copeland gang or whatever, and yeah. He's like this like militia guy, but he's like a hippie militia, so he believes in like Second Amendment rights and all this other stuff, but then he's like, we need to farm more. And then the other camp is this old woman, this old battle axe, and she's like indentured servitude, like she's making slaves of everyone, and it's like, if you don't work, you don't get food.
Everybody's gonna pull their share, but yeah, she actually just says, I'm running this thing like a prison, essentially. She used to be like a prison matron.
Yeah.
So do we know, are those the only two camps in the game? Because it's kind of an interesting...
I think so. That's what I saw, or that's what I read.
Interesting dichotomy that one is basically the if you want weapon upgrades, and one is the if you want bike upgrades.
Yeah.
So they've kind of split that up where you've got to prioritize one or the other.
How many, aside from the intro one, have you seen any flashbacks with your wife, Sarah?
Yes, I've been following the remembrance storyline, and there've been some good flashbacks.
Did you see the one when they like met?
Oh yeah,
it is the most cringe-inducing sub Sons of Anarchy level drama that you could possibly imagine.
Oh, that's the scene that sold me on the game. That's why I bought the game.
The one with the wedding.
No, the one I'm talking about.
Well, the wedding, the one where she's bending over is what Mark's talking about.
It's like she's like her truck is like broken.
Oh, they're meet cute. Yes, they've got a meet cute where her car's broken down on the road and he's got to protect her from some hooligans.
Yeah, Deacon like drives by in his bike and they start talking, and then all of a sudden she's riding with you, and you get into this like 3-on-1 fist fight with these idiots, like these redneck idiots, and I was wondering, like, what just happened? Like, what is going on here? As far as the gameplay, it's a lot better with stealth weaponry. Like, that game gets a whole lot easier when you have a sniper rifle with a suppressor on it.
I just got the first, I got the .22, which is garbage, complete trash, that rifle. So I'm still kind of low on good weapons, but I've upgraded my bike quite a bit.
I've upgraded as much as I can, except for like a few like little odds and ends for like durability that I don't care about. But like I have nitrous back and stuff like that, which is nice.
You know, the thing about those flashbacks, and I'll try talking about them in a non-spoilery way, but Sean, on the last episode, you alluded to the fact that there's reviewers who complained about Deacon as a character and talked about how he was unlikable or he did some bad things.
Yes. So that seemed to be a thing that he kind of gets even worse as it goes on.
Yeah. I'm curious, Mark, if you've encountered any of that, because so far this guy's a Boy Scout.
No, he is kind of a prick.
How so?
But he's not like a malicious prick, I would say. Like this is a small spoiler, but that Lisa chick I mentioned earlier, she's like a 14-year-old girl who's like traumatized, like she's living in her old home. She's basically like Clem from The Walking Dead, but like slightly older.
Sure.
She clearly has some like mental problems, or like she has like, you know, since her parents are gone, like, she just degraded.
Yeah.
So his great plan is to take her back to the prison camp. And it's like, that might not be the best plan.
What do you mean? It's to integrate her back into society.
As opposed to the hippie camp?
Okay. But, I mean, you cannot choose which one?
No, that's a story beat. Because I guess she actually knows the old battle axe.
Okay.
And then Deacon is like, oh, like, you should be not, you should... Don't push her too hard. And the old woman's like, no, fuck you. I'm going to do whatever I want.
That's interesting, because the mechanic in the game is that it generally makes you choose if you rescue survivors, which camp you want to send those survivors to.
Yeah, you can either get money and respect if you send them to the hippie camp, or you can just get money if you send them to the slave camp.
But I guess you've got no choice in that story, huh?
No. I also fight a bear, which is pretty awesome.
Ah, man. I've been spending a lot of time cleaning out those zombie nests.
I do that. Those aren't fun.
Everything I've seen of the guy, like this guy, he spends the bulk of his time acting as a combination sheriff and janitor, just cleaning out zombie nests and policing the local murderers. If you take it face value that the people that he kills deserve it and are people who are preying on others, and that's what the game tells you pretty explicitly, then he and Boozman are really doing, I mean, he's doing a public service.
Yeah.
For the community. They're cleaning up the woods and making supply runs for folks and doing bounties. I mean, there's like one flashback that reframes him a little bit early on in the Remembrance story, where he kind of has to kill somebody that he doesn't want to kill.
Yeah, I saw that.
This tends to happen in these kinds of stories. Yeah.
People don't like him because he's biker scum, end of story.
Huh. He seems like a good guy. I don't get it.
Also, it's funny how, like, there are no other vehicles that I've seen in this game except for bikes.
Well, I mean, what else are you going to ride in the post-apocalypse?
Motorcycles aren't that durable compared to a car.
Part of this cataclysmic event has destroyed every car. Cars are just scrap in this world.
Literally.
Yeah.
Well, how does the motorcycle feel good to ride? I mean...
It's a little squirrely, I found. Like, it controls all right, but it doesn't feel great necessarily. Like, maybe if you upgrade it enough, it'll feel better.
I felt like I did better with the crappy bike that you get than with the cool initial bike, which I kept oversteering.
Okay.
Now that I've put some upgrades into it, you know, I've got the wheels and all that stuff with more traction, it really controls a lot better than it does in the beginning to me. But one thing about the bike riding... And this is the big thing of this game is scarcity. Resource scarcity is one of the biggest gameplay differentiators, I think, for this. And it affects how you drive as well, because you drive to conserve gasoline. You rev as little as possible. You let off the gas when you're going downhill, especially. I think I took it too much to heart in the beginning when the game teaches you that gasoline is scarce, because... I really played super conservatively for a long time until I did almost run out. And then I realized that as soon as you come close to running out, they start marking gasoline containers on your map.
Well, they do that already. Like, if you go into the map, they're just like, here's a gas canister that's always there. Like halfway between both camps.
Okay, so that's...
Okay, if I ever need to get gas, you can just go there. And then the problem I don't like is when you fast travel, it also takes gas.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's like, oh, if you want to go to this camp, it's going to take 0.7 liters.
Right. But
it's like, all right, I guess. I mean, I just fast travel there, pay to refill, and then I'm good.
If it didn't cost gas, though, to fast travel, it would break the entire
yeah.
Kind of scarcity mechanic.
Well, not just that. It'd be like, oh, well, all of a sudden the game has like magic. Like, oh, you don't, you're fast traveling. It didn't cost any gas.
There's plenty of magic going on with some of the zombies. How they, I've had zombies just pop out of nowhere, like literally.
They do spawn in pretty suddenly.
And it's like, wait, what? Or I was in a medical camp. It's like I had all the doors shut. I picked up an audio log, and then all the doors randomly opened, and I was like, "Uh-oh, this isn't good."
Do you have level 2 trust yet with one of the camps?
Yeah, the first one.
Can you just buy as many medkits as you want?
Yeah.
Okay, that's my main. I need to be able to do that.
You talk about scarcity. Like, I mean, gas is a little scarce, but I have found I've had a ton of materials for stuff. Like I'm basically full most of the time, you know, of like Molotov cocktails or bandages or, you know, just like arcane stuff. Cause it's like, hey, I just pick up everything and then use it.
I'm usually full of the stuff I don't need. And, I found myself pretty annoyed coming across zombiness and not having what I needed to make Molotovs on me.
Yeah.
And I've been conserving health packs pretty much, walking around with half health most of the game so far, just because I don't want to use things.
I also bumped my health up to at least 2 different spots so far. Like, I'm at like 150 now. You start off at 100.
Oh, I haven't done that at all.
The one thing I don't like about the game, really, is like the mission, not the mission design, but like how the missions open up.
Hmm.
Because you'll complete a mission and then you immediately get the next one, and then it's halfway across the map. It's like, why?
Yeah.
Just have it be like a fourth across the map. I'd be happy.
Well, and there's also closer stuff around you still that you should be doing. But the game puts as the default to like go all the way across to the other side of the map. So I've kind of found myself going halfway down towards mission and then deciding, oh, wait, no, that's not what I wanted to do at all. I didn't realize that the game had changed the active mission for me.
It is a ton of fun. I found stealthing around like enemy camps, like human enemy camps.
Stealth is great.
Because you can mark and target, or just, you know, like mark enemies, and it, you know, it'll follow their path along, and it's completely broken in a really fun way. Because with that sniper rifle, with it, you know, suppressed, you can just take out everyone in the camp.
Mm, I need that.
So it's like shooting and stuff actually.
Well, I also, I have, I don't know if you unlock the focus upgrade.
Yes.
But like, I have slow-mo shooting. Like, you press a button and, you know, it just slows down for like 5 seconds. I upgraded that a little too.
Bullet time?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, pretty much. You can pull off like one shot, possibly two if you're really good, but just one so far. But it's really effective with getting headshots.
Yeah. It's interesting to me, Mark, because you compared it to Mad Max. Just because of the bike.
It's a lot like that Mad Max game a few years ago.
It really feels more like Wildlands to me. Like, it has that kind of methodical movement and shooting, and a similar UI design too, similar kind of style generally, and similar vehicle controls. So that's what it makes me think of the most. Like, if you took all the high-tech gadgets out and replaced them with low-tech stuff and made everything really...
I mean, I literally have a gadget that's an attractor that can, you know, attract zombies somewhere. It's kind of high-tech.
Okay. Well, yeah, it's just... Is it the thing you throw and it makes a noise?
Yeah.
That doesn't sound... I mean, it's just a noisemaker, right?
It does... It's effective.
Sure.
The reason I say it's like Mad Max, aside from the vehicle stuff, is just all the little bases that have nothing but just resources for you to, like, pillage. And, like, the collectibles are the same way, kind of.
Okay, but that's, I just don't think the feel, like, the combat or the feel of the movement is anything like it.
Well, the melee especially is like Mad Max.
What? Mad Max has Batman combat.
Yeah, but you're still, like, just picking up weapons and wailing on people.
Yeah, but it's totally different. I don't think the countering system in this is any... Anyway, this is a dumb rabbit hole to go down.
Yeah, this doesn't have a countering system.
Mark, do you have any more observations from further ahead in the game?
I'm at, like, day 750, I think.
I'm not that... You're, like, 8 days ahead of me.
Well, I don't know how they... Like, I think they do that with, like, you know, every time you hit a mission, major mission, it, like...
Certain story beats.
Fast forwards time.
Yeah.
Yeah, and it's like, wait, what?
So... I really like this game. I'm enjoying it a lot.
Do you like the story? So I've heard the story is like the really good part of it.
It's obviously full of cliches.
The funniest thing I was noticed on Twitter, or I was talking about on Twitter earlier, was that like the opening scene when you meet Sarah.
Yeah.
Like, well, like the when they meet for the first time, She's like a government scientist, and she has like tattoos all up and down her arms. And it's like, yep, that's all what all government scientists have.
Well, okay, but it's modern day. It's not. This is not.
But he's a biker. That kind of makes sense.
No, I mean the female Sarah, the wife.
Well, no, what I'm saying is like it's kind of makes sense for him to be attracted to a girl with tattoos and all that stuff. You know, it kind of seems like the biker lifestyle.
Mark's just questioning that a woman with tattoos could hold a government job.
Pretty much.
I think there's more tolerance for that nowadays.
Yeah, I would say we have progressed in a time where, you know,
every woman in my town has a tattoo and they're all white trash. So I know the score.
Ah, you're extrapolating there.
Yes, based on factual evidence.
So yeah, everybody's kind of a stereotype, but I am really enjoying the characters. They have good chemistry. I think the voice actors for Deacon and Boozman are really good. I like the scenes with him and Sarah. The interesting part to me in the game also is you're following Nova around. So there's a government agency that seems to have kind of survived the downfall that is still doing experiments and kind of poking at the zombies a little bit. And you know, you're kind of trying to find what they're up to. And I wonder if that's going to tie more into the backstory with Sarah as well. So, yeah, I'm absolutely interested where it's going. I mean, it's too early to make a judgment on whether it's good, but it is certainly grabbing my attention.
They really should have got Charlie Hunnam and Maggie Siff to do some Sons of Anarchy business with these characters.
I wouldn't be surprised if there's a cameo at some point from some of those people. Why wouldn't you do that?
How are the freakers? Do you...
They could really overwhelm you. I mean, I've died quite a bit playing on normal.
Yeah, but I mean,
it's not easy.
Like, I can take up to like 4 or 5 at a time now, like just wailing away on them. But any more than that, especially like some of the like weapons you get, like the ranged weapons, aren't great for like mid shots or anything. So,
does it always feel fair though? Like when they surround you and stuff, it's not. Oh, it's...
Well, aside from they magically pop in, yeah.
there's some emergent nonsense, just like you would expect in, say, a Rockstar game or a Far Cry game, where things are intruding on, like, scripted events and non-scripted events are intruding on each other. And those are the only times that it has felt not fair to me.
Yeah.
But that's something that I generally excuse in open-world games.
Okay.
Or at least to a certain extent, I will.
Well, any other thoughts on Days Gone?
Mark, what do you think of the story?
I haven't really unlocked it yet. I just kind of met O'Brien again. So I'm dealing with that. I guess I'm further along than you are.
I wonder if we should do... Do you want to do like a spoiler cast when we're actually done with this game? Or is at that point... interest in this game is waning quickly, right?
Yeah.
I mean, people seem to be enjoying it. The ones that, you know, are taking that time to, like, really go through it. And, of course, I think when you buy the game, it's easier to make yourself feel like, oh, I spent that $60. I really got to go through and play it. Whereas I think with reviewers, sometimes we forget when we get a code that we didn't pay that money. It's easier for you to go, oh, I can just put this down, you know, or this is as far as I'm going to get. Let me do the review and then I'm done, you know.
That was my plan with EDF until someone forced me to finish it.
Yep. Gotta finish your games.
No, you don't.
Technically, for review, you're supposed to get as far as you possibly can by the, you know, if you get the games far enough before embargo. After that, it's kind of like, well, you're supposed to just do it as fast as you can, whatever.
No, I get as far as I'm interested in getting.
Well, see, not everybody has the same philosophy as everybody when you're doing reviews. So, you know,
it's
a subjective thing.
That's why I also get reviews done quicker than most people, because I know when games are shit and when they're not.
That also takes very good experience to know. But, you know, I will say in defense, there are games that sometimes it seems like they're crap at the beginning and then they do get better as you go on.
Or vice versa. I've had lots of things fall apart on me in the third act, so.
Also true. Well, do you want to talk anything about Earth Defense Force Iron Ring? I know you guys talked about it last time, so.
Yo, I finished it, and it's still bad. The end.
Your verdict.
it was funny because Jens was like, "Oh, get this rocket launcher. It'll serve you well." Yeah, but in multiplayer games, the health and damage of enemies is doubled, or at least, you know, something, because that rocket launcher didn't do shit against any enemy I fought.
So that's one thing that we didn't note, and it became much more egregious in the latter half of the game, is that they really boost. It was much easier for me to beat the game by myself than it was for us to beat the game together. So, you know, the scaling is maybe leaves something to be desired.
And there's only like 10 enemies in the entire game.
Well, isn't it just trying to kill things in mass?
No, there's a lot of really stupid defend the base or like defend this area mission. There's a lot of missions where like there are some missions where they spawn in like a bunch of enemies, which are fine, but there are missions where it's like, here's the first wave of enemies, here's the second wave, here's the third wave, and then possibly a fourth.
Yeah, they really do break everything up into little waves. There's nothing ever gets to the size that EDF is famous for, as far as the scenarios, so.
Is that disappointing for you, Jens?
Very. It's not really what I want from... I mean, I still played it a whole bunch. I don't know, I put maybe 50, 60 hours into it, because I'm an idiot. I did eventually unlock that out. It took me... Basically, until Mark and I were almost done with our playthrough, for me to unlock that outfit that I unlocked half of at the very beginning of the game, and then it just taunted me the entire time.
That's a good use of your time, like I said last time.
I had closure.
Well, it's always good to get closure when you can.
That's why me and Sean were saying you like this game, because you're the one, you know, obsessively trying to finish it, and it's like, no, you don't break yourself that stupid.
So much. How much do you think is Mark just outright hating the series, and how much of it is he's just right, it does suck, as much as he says?
I'm really looking forward to his review, because I'm he seems to have these preconceived notions about the series just from watching Giant Bomb Quick Looks and stuff, so.
And the people who play him.
Right. I don't know. I just hope that he'll be fair and he won't paint the entire series by this brush.
1.5 out of 10.
That seems fair.
1.5 out of 10. All right.
If we're going by an average of 5, then yeah, like maybe a 2 or 3.
Damn.
Still too
so
high.
So basically the verdict is don't buy Earth Defense Force. Wait for it to like show up on PS Plus or something.
Buy Earth Defense Force 4.1. The previous one on PS4.
There you go.
Anyway, Sean, I'm really curious what you've been playing while we've been plugging away at Days Gone.
I have played a little bit more of SteamWorld Quest. That's about it. And I can't... I mean, there's not really much more to divulge from what I said last week. So until I get to something where, like, maybe next week I've gotten much further. Because I haven't even gotten to the part where you craft the cards yet. So it's still the same basic concept of, you know, you go through, play your dungeon crawly part where you try to get through the area, you collect treasure, you battle the monsters, the boss happens, and they have really funny quips and stuff like that. I like the third character that you get. He's funny, and I like his design. I mean, it's... Like I said, it's a $25 game. I know for some people, like $20 is usually the cutoff on the, well, I'll just buy it and it's not a big deal. If you like any of the SteamWorld games, or you just like card games, I'd say that you might want to give it a shot. But certainly next week I'll have much more to say when I've gotten much further into it. I don't know if it's drawn your interest at all, Jens.
I'm not a big card games, but this is card games with RPG quest mechanics.
Basically, it's like a turn-based RPG, but instead of doing skills, you have cards.
Does it play like a card game, or is there actually like a map where you're placing your characters and positioning matters and?
No, I mean it's pre-positioned for you like a turn-based game. You walk around a map. It's basically like a dungeon crawler. Like, there's these areas, and you go to a certain part, either there's an enemy or a treasure or nothing, and you go on to the next thing. And in that area, there might be one of those things until you get to the boss. And that's it. Then you...
Are the dungeons randomized, or is it all
it's all
kind of bespoke?
It's all bespoke. what will either carry you through or not is the if you like their the humor and the writing. You know, like the other stream world games are pretty good at having good writing along with the gameplay mechanics. So,
except for Heist.
Yeah, I mean, I liked Heist, but I know a lot of people that didn't, you know, so.
Like, Heist had good writing, but the battle mechanics were terrible, I thought.
I will admit, I've never played a SteamWorld game.
Well, SteamWorld dig games are great.
Yeah.
Other than that, I have not really played anything. Just trying to get back into the groove of getting myself to write stuff and all that. Now that I don't have the big burden of trying to get myself to get through One Piece, that's over with. So I have more time for things now.
I can fire up Naruto.
I'm trying to actually watch stuff that's coming out, like, now.
Oh, you're watching new anime?
So I can...
I'm at least a season behind now.
I'm like, I started watching Rise of the Shield Hero and...
Oh, yeah.
A few other things, but that's like... Thankfully, I can just, like, do one episode and be like, all right, I'm good. I don't have to keep watching for, like, 5 or 6 episodes or whatever. Oh, and I caught up on Attack on Titan. So, because the new part 2 of season 3 just started or whatever. So.
I'll be watching that when it comes to Blu-ray.
I found out my sister also watches it, so I was like, it was kind of cool to be able to watch it with her. I was like, oh, I watch anime with somebody that's not my 8-year-old. That's cool.
Well... I mean, 8 years old is the anime target age demographic.
not really, but I mean.
You know, I think the very first anime I ever saw was Urutsukidori, Legend of the Overfiend, so I had a very different impression of what the genre was right away.
I think the first anime Anaya ever watched was. Oh, Anaya's first ever anime was DBZ. So that was interesting because. She actually liked it, and then I tried to get her to watch Sailor Moon, and she was not having that. So, yeah.
Makes sense.
Yeah, my mom got mad. She's like, why are you not having her watch, like, you know, more girly cartoons? I was like, well, I would, but she seems to be more drawn to the Dragon Ball Z that I'm watching right now. So, what, I'm going to force her to watch something she didn't like? You guys just deal with it.
The show or the Chun Li versus Vega fight from that animated movie over and over?
Probably not. But, you know, if there's anything, I guess, to give her back, she loves Captain Marvel in the MCU. So there you go. Girl power.
Yeah, I like that movie too.
Too bad they wasted her in Avengers.
Yeah, my wife was pretty annoyed by her not playing as big of a role as she was hoping.
I mean, to be fair, they wasted a lot of the. Female characters in Avengers.
Yeah, but they didn't have female movies for most of those characters just 2 months ago.
It makes sense for it being the send of the Avengers to focus on the core group to me. I didn't really bother me personally.
I don't really care either way. I just thought it was funny.
Yeah.
Agreed. But, you know, we were talking about PS Plus games not too long ago here. Just to make mention of it really quick. Overcooked 1 and What Remains of Edith Finch are the PS Plus games for May. Both those games are great. Obviously, Overcooked 2 is much better than 1.
That's a lot newer, so that's why they put 1 on there to hopefully.
No, definitely. I'm just saying, like, even graphics wise or just like the throwing mechanic makes that game so much different. So, if you've already played 2, unless you just want to have it, you know, Overcooked 1's not necessarily needed because it's. Basically the same game, just better. What Remains of Edith Finch is short, but it's a really good story game, so it's worth checking out.
I never played that one, so I'm kind of interested.
I bought it for, like, I think $9 when it was on a sale last year. Totally worth it. I enjoyed it. All right, so some of the big things from this week, mainly the, I guess, biggest one, because it's one of the big games coming out. This year, and it keeps making waves.
Phantom Strikers?
Not that. Borderlands 3 is, yes, it's more Borderlands, but they've improved some things on it. Like the, Mark and I talked about the loot instancing, which was officially revealed that everybody that you play with is going to get their own loot depending on their level. So you don't have to go fight somebody for this loot or that loot. And also, the villains are going to upscale. So if you're level 25, you're going to be feeling like you're playing a level 35. You're going to be fighting against a level 35 enemy while your friend is, if they're level 20, they're shooting a level 30 enemy. I don't know exactly how that's going to work, but they're making that happen. You can't turn it off, though, if you just want to make things like normal Borderlands. Also, the story is 30 hours long if you want to do nothing but the story, and you can also just do everything and play for 115 hours.
Well, I saw something that I guess the bosses are supposed to be, quote, annoying streamers. And it's like, how is that different from any regular streamer? Like, what's... Are they going to have PewDiePie voice one of them? Because that'd be pretty funny, but that's about it.
They're good streamers.
No.
The thing I've noticed with this is that Gearbox keeps showing their hand that they are not great at making deals with their returning voice talent.
Who is it this time?
Claptrap apparently is not the same.
Oh.
Claptrap. You know, along with the Troy Baker thing with Reese.
Yeah, last week. Yeah, that was funny.
Yeah. And, you know, we did get to see, I think, a couple of the new characters, and Lilith got shown off as well in that gameplay thing.
I think the guy who was Claptrap used to just work at the studio as, like, a programmer or something. And then I think he left, like, 4 or 5 years ago. So, it's understandable why they don't use him, but he was fine. Like,
I mean, he still sounded like Claptrap. Whoever they got,
yeah,
you know, it wasn't that bad.
Yeah, you can get pretty much any voice actor to do a decent Claptrap voice. I don't really see what the issue is.
Yeah, I mean, there's, you know, people like to just complain. I mean, it's not like Randy Pitchford helps himself a lot of times, so, you know, between his hatred of Steam and...
His loot box temper tantrum was hilarious.
That's such a ridiculous... I hate finding myself agreeing with Randy Pitchford, but I think it's kind of obvious what he meant. But then to throw a big fit about the fact that he was taken out of context, they didn't take him that much out of context. I think anybody reading that article understands what that article is saying.
Yeah, oh no, exactly. It's just, don't go around saying you don't have this and this in your game, but you technically do. Just better off safe than sorry with the way that fans or gamers are, gamer culture is, especially online. Just, you know.
Right, he can't help himself be combative.
Exactly. Apparently there's going to be 3 action skills for each of the characters at the beginning instead of 1. You know, some of the weapons are going to have an alternate fire mode now. You can press a button to instant refill on your ammunition from the vending machines now instead of having to go out and buy it. And you can use, Sanctuary 3. For the most part.
This is why it's taken 10 years since the last big Borderlands game, because you know, have an instant refill all ammo button.
Something that what Gain's been doing for that long period of time since Borderlands 2?
Pretty much.
I mean, I know everybody keeps saying it's more Borderlands, but like, are either one of you super interested in it? Or
I kind of am. It depends really on the story and if Jens wants to actually play it or not.
It's a co-op shooter, so I'll play it.
Well, if y'all two are going to play it, I might go in and play it as well.
And we'll be level 40 and you'll be level 4.
Hey, now, if we're all playing, I will try to keep up, not be at level 4 and the rest.
Well, I mean, you have a lot more responsibilities than the rest do, so.
Well, you know, if she goes to bed at a normal time, I can hang out next day.
That's why you got to use those trank darts like I've been telling you.
Well, first of all, I gotta find a trank gun to use it on first. So, you know, speaking of, we have Randy Pitchford with outrage. Well, everybody's been in a lot of outrage over the Sonic movie trailer, including so much so that it is now gotten the director and everybody else to go back and say, oh, well, you know what? We're just gonna redo his design. But we're not going to push back the launch date of the movie or anything. So guess what? We're going to have another story of crunch on our hands pretty quickly. Which, with the way that's been going this year, that's just another story to add on to it.
If it was like one scene, they could probably, I mean, really change his design. but it's the whole movie.
my reaction to the trailer, I mean, it wasn't a good trailer, obviously, but it sold me on the movie as a potentially enjoyable train wreck,
mm-hmm.
where every possible creative decision that they made wrong, especially the character design. And the internet's already, ran this well dry within like an hour of the trailer being out. You know, the live teenage leg, the legs, the weird proportions, the human baby teeth, the lack of a butt, all that stuff. So I don't know. Do we really want this design changed? It seems like the movie's more interesting the way that it was.
Well, hopefully when it comes out on DVD, there'll be like the director's cut. Like this is what you originally planned for this movie or something like that, or the original design.
No, the worst part is apparently a lot of the designers and artists or whatever that worked on Sonic on record saying that they told the people involved, hey, Sonic doesn't look great. You might want to, you know, change it. And they decided to not change it. And now they waited until the fans got mad to make that decision. Which also led people to think it's a publicity stunt, and they did this on purpose.
I don't believe that.
Yeah, that's like the tinfoil hat crowd. Like, no way to get this far in a movie and then abruptly change it.
It's like the new Coke thing. You know, we're neither that smart nor that stupid.
Yeah.
Yeah, man, you don't go and make all those posters and all that stuff that's already in theaters and everything else just to want to change it later.
I'm sure there are already Sonic the Hedgehog action figures in some warehouse somewhere. You know, it's itching to get released.
Well, that they'll have to redo if they redo the design.
That's what I mean, yeah. Like, that's why I don't believe that they, you know, is all some nefarious plot to redesign them quickly. It's like, no, you don't get that far ahead in production.
Do you guys think they're going to pull out this crunch off and actually like make a good-looking Sonic in 6 months?
No. I think for a few key scenes they might, but the design is pretty much set.
Yeah, I don't think they're going to be able to change much without them delaying it.
They can't change his proportions too much probably because of the framing.
Right.
But
the other problems were like the eyes and the teeth.
I feel like the eyes are fixable. The teeth, like anything facial, I think is going to be fixable.
The teeth is what bothered me. I didn't really have a problem that much with the eyes.
The biggest problem I noticed is why isn't there a scene of him making out with Lacey Chabert?
Well, yeah.
It's all they want in a Sonic movie.
Sure.
Just like that Sonic the Hedgehog Xbox 360 game from 2006.
Did you guys see Tommy Wiseau tweet that he wants to be Shadow the Hedgehog?
Yeah, I did see that.
That's pretty good.
As CGI or just as Tommy Wiseau? Because one of those would be
I think
way
either
better.
One would work.
I mean, I guess that could be the, post credits.
Yeah.
Is Shadow is entering the Sonic universe or whatever.
Do you think, aside from Sonic, do you think any of the other characters is going to show up in this thing?
I'd be so scared to know what Tails looks like. If, this is what Sonic looks like.
I think they were just genuinely trying to make the standard CGI character and human are pursued by the military buddy movie that we've seen a million zillion times. So I don't think there's room for the other characters in that.
When that monster truck is an alien movie looks better than this thing, you might have a problem.
I will say, I like Jim Carrey as Robotnik. Like,
I think he looks funny, like, because it's like classic Jim Carrey that hasn't been around for 20 years.
It's 90s Jim Carrey back. I mean, I was not a fan of 90s Jim Carrey when he was 90s Jim Carrey. So it's not enticing to me. But and I didn't think that scene where he's berating the general, that felt like it was just bad kids movie jokes that went on way too long.
I'd agree there. When they showed him as Dr. Robotnik, like the way you normally see him at the end of that trailer, he looked good.
Oh, yeah, that was good.
So
I'll go see it.
There's ups and downs. I don't know that I'll see it in the theater.
Oh, I'm seeing it.
Yeah. I'll see Detective Pikachu, but that actually looks like a semi-good movie. But I want to see Sonic because it looks bad.
Oh, I already got my tickets for Pikachu because Anaya won't leave me alone. So, you know. But, yeah. I mean, that actually looks really good. Plus, Ron Reynolds' Pikachu, you nail it.
Yeah, can't argue with that.
Well, I mean, saying on the Sega front, here for a little bit. They did not have a great 2018 except for in their PC business. In fact, it seems like they are going to take the Capcom route of we're going to focus on older IP and maybe remaster or re-release other titles. Not that they don't do that enough already.
Yakuza Kenshin, Yakuza Ishin.
Yeah, so that's alongside the Sega Genesis Mini coming out later this year.
Like last year, they didn't, correct me if I'm wrong, they didn't have a ton of games, I didn't think.
Okay, so here's what came out, at least from the Atlas. Let's start with the Atlas side of things. You had last year Dragon's Crown Pro, which is a remaster. Persona 3 and 5 Dancing didn't come here until the end of the year, basically.
And I can't imagine those games sold particularly well.
I mean, they probably sold really well in Japan, but not necessarily here. Etrian Odyssey Nexus came out on 3DS, and it was pretty much like, oh, that was out? Okay. Persona Q2 still has to come out here, and then Catherine Full Body and Persona 5 Royal, which will come out in Japan, this year and next year here.
Well, like last year, they released like at least two Yakuza games.
Right. Yeah.
And you're getting the port of Kiwami 2 this week?
Yeah, but like Sega didn't make any big games.
Valkyria Chronicles 4 was their other big game.
I'll repeat, Sega did not make any big games.
I heard that Valkyria Chronicles 4 was actually good.
It's really good. It's just, it's never been a mega seller.
Yeah, it's not going to sell 3 million units, you know.
It did fine. Like, you know, it helped, being on Switch helped, but I remember that game being on constant sale, basically, for like $30, which usually doesn't bode well for your game if it's constantly on sale all the time.
I mean, look at, like, something like Bayonetta. Like, that game should be multi-platform because it sold a billion copies, but it's only on Nintendo because it screwed up the first one.
I think it did okay on Switch, though.
They essentially sold Bayonetta to Nintendo.
Yo, nobody else would have it at the time. I mean, they were in pretty desperate straits with that game. They, you know, Bayonetta 2 was almost done, and they lost their publisher, and, you know, they were trying to save it.
You know the game that's going to really going to fix all Sega's problems when it eventually comes out?
What?
Shenmue 3.
I was waiting for that.
Yep.
That's,
is that even...
I think Sega is...
That's a Kickstarter game.
It's supposed to come out this year.
I think Sega is, like, has a hand in it. I don't think they're publishing it, but they're doing something with it, I think. But okay. Sega doesn't have a ton of franchises, and the ones that people like...
Well, active. Yeah.
That's the thing. Like, I would love a new Jet Grind Radio, or, you know, maybe, what is it, Shining Force?
I love a new Shining Force.
But they just don't do anything.
Yeah, I mean, a lot of their... And
they're always tied up in making bad Sonic games. And I was like, this doesn't help anyone.
I mean, they're making a new Soccer Wars, but that's a ways off. And you have, you know, Shenmue, which they're not truly involved in. I'd love, like, Space Channel 5 to get something, but that's probably not going to happen.
Well, they're making a VR mode. Or they're making, like, a VR version of
that.
Oh,
that's right.
But that's not... That's not it.
I mean, like, they haven't made a Virtual Fighter in a while, even.
Like a Streets of Rage? That'd be fun.
Isn't there some other company making a Streets of Rage, like, something?
Maybe.
Like, some indie studio or whatever, but it's not Sega? You know, the one that I'd love to see with...
Binary Domain 2.
Oh, now, God.
You're thinking Double Dragon.
Yeah, Double Dragon, yeah. But that Neon came out a while ago.
No, they made a Double Dragon 4 also.
Oh, God. I try not to remember that Double Dragon 4 came out. Those games are awful. Panzer Dragoon should have had another game by now.
They did. It was called Rez.
Not the same. Not totally the same, though.
It's time for someone to break the glass in the Crazy Taxi 4 plans and get that into motion.
I would love another Crazy Taxi.
Or like another OutRun game or something like that, you know?
Oh, yeah.
Like, I'm surprised Nintendo hasn't tried to bring back Super Monkey Ball for Switch.
Sega owns it.
Yeah, but, like, that's something that, like, Sega should just be like, here, have it. Put it on Switch. Like, you know? Like, I bet that would do pretty decently. They've really been coasting on Yakuza and, you know, Persona stuff.
Yeah.
Lately. And then Shin Megami Tensei 5, we still don't even know when the hell that's supposed to come out. They have shown nothing since when the Switch was supposed to launch.
Yeah.
So, they're saying they have way too many games in development and they're going to cut down on that. And it's like, oh, we're going to focus more on remasters or whatever. It's like, you already made a bunch of, like, either spinoffs to game, to series that already exist, or remasters or sequels or whatever. Like, how much more are you going to focus on that? Like,
I would really like a Comic Zone 2. I mean, Kid Chameleon 2, sorry.
You're still thinking about Comic Zone.
It's terrible. Kid Chameleon rules. That's all I had to say.
It's funny that like Sega went from we're not going to make a lot of games to like, oh, we're going to focus on mobile to, oh, that didn't work, so we're going to go back to making console stuff to where, oh, well, if it's not Yakuza or Persona related, we're not doing that great, so let's focus on more of Sonic Mania. And, oh, we're going to release... We release all these freaking classic... That's the only thing that I get from the Mini. Like, I'm kind of interested in it because I never owned a Genesis, and I just got done reading that Console Wars book, so maybe I have a more nostalgia for it than I should. But
just going to any Rite Aid and pick up a Genesis right now, it's the same thing.
Well, not just that, but it's like you keep releasing all these collections. So it's like, what's the point of getting a Mini other than just to have it on your shelf? And unless you're going to get Sonic 3 on there, like, what's the point? You're going to have basically almost every game that's been on one of those collections, probably.
That would be the killer app, Sonic 3. That would get me to buy it.
And Michael Jackson's Moonwalker.
Oh, yeah.
The Sonic 3 thing, if it is a rights issue with Jackson's estate, or, you know, the problem of him, you know, him being on the soundtrack, just remove the songs or just replace them at this point. Like,
no.
I mean, you say no, but you're a music... You know,
yeah, I love music
like,
too.
No one's gonna care.
Trust me, Jens, like the thing I forgot to mention last week about the Persona 5 Scramble is how could you, the best thing about that is you get to just mindlessly kill things while you listen to that great soundtrack. So who cares?
Exactly.
But, you know, that's the thing. I'm a music person too. But if like that's really what's holding back getting one of your great games on a system, you know.
For Sonic 3, I would entertain it. Moonwalker, that'd be impossible. I mean, that's also, that's the version. I feel the Moonwalker version of Smooth Criminal is like the version.
I agree with you there.
I meant Moonwalker as a joke, but Sonic 3, I think there's like two songs in it, like Green Hill Act 2 or something, like one other one. It's like, or Ice Cap Zone Act 1. It's like, you just get rid of it.
Use the Sonic Mania versions of them, and there you go. Sega's gonna have to figure it out.
I would actually say one good killer app for that Mini, I don't know if it's actually announced yet, or it would be Aladdin. Because fuck that SNES version.
I wonder if Disney would go ahead and do all that.
Like, they already have like a bunch of Mickey Mouse crap in that thing. Like Aladdin was that was a better, way better game on Genesis.
That's the thing too. Like I remember when they made a huge deal about they remastered Castle of Illusion. Whatever, and
they did another one like for the
It's like a 2.5D game.
That was a bad game. Yeah, I played all of it. I shouldn't have.
Well, there you go. Mark likes partaking in the bad game. There,
it was okay enough, but it's like this is not. It's trying to evoke a feeling that it's just failing at.
Well, speaking of a feeling, who knows? Maybe this Saints Row movie will evoke some kind of feeling in someone. It's directed by F. Gary Gray, who did the Fate of the Furious, and he's also doing the New Men in Black International.
Oh.
And he also previously directed Straight Outta Compton, which, you know, that movie...
One out of three movies isn't bad.
is really good. I don't care about Saints Row, so I don't have a thing with this, but I don't know, Mark.
I do care about Saints Row, and I have requirements.
Yeah, this is the thing. Mark, before we get into detailed requirements, I think anyone adapting Saints Row has some really tough choices to make because it's such a varied series, and it means different things to different people.
But because of it, you could also sort of take it in different directions, right?
Right, but I mean, like, the first Saints Row is a pretty straight-up GTA clone. The second is the super irreverent and mean-spirited parody thing. And then three is just let's go crazy fun and freeform and break the fourth wall a lot. And then, of course, four and Get Out of Hell take that even further, where it's just a complete farce now. So I don't know, like, do you start at the beginning? Do you start with a serious Saints Row? Or, like, what do you even do? Or do you just kind of take inspiration, take little bits and pieces from the games, and otherwise just make a crime movie? F. Gary Gray kind of makes a lot of just crime movies, so
see,
that would be my expectations to some degree.
I guess my hope would be for, like, the first 10 minutes, it's a very serious, like, they're, like, doing, like, a Heat-level, you know, bank robbery, like basically how Saints Row 3 opens. Except that, like, the main boss, you know, actor is Eminem. And then in the first 10 minutes, he gets blasted to hell. And he's in, like, you know, a body cast. And when he wakes up, like, the doctor's like, oh, way to do surgery on you. And then it's just Snoop Dogg for the rest of the movie.
That's not a bad idea.
And then it has to have Keith David, has to have Natalie Lander. She was Kinsey in 3 and 4. I would love it. I would actually love it also if Tara Platt, she's a voice actress in that series. If
your requirement's not going to be met. They're not going to cast the voice actors as the real actors.
Yeah.
Well, then this movie will fail because look at Sonic the Hedgehog.
I'm sure there'll be some people hoping for Jason Statham since he resembles the male default character of those games.
That would be cool.
I'd also like it if Jay Moore is the bad guy.
I wouldn't mind Natasha Lyonne myself. That's the kind of character that I made for myself in Saints Row, and I think she would be hilarious if you're doing a Saints Row 3 kind of thing with a lot of jokey dumbness.
And have Neil Patrick Harrison as well.
What if so Jason Statham's doing that movie with The Rock? What if both of them show up in?
No.
The Saints. Well,
that'd be Row. Good.
No.
I mean.
No.
Yeah, that's like the thing is you already at that point you're just making a Hobbs and Shaw or a Fast and Furious.
True.
Yeah, but I don't care.
Well, moving on from movies for probably the rest, well, for a little bit at least until we get to the entertainment part of the show. Epic Games, you know, they continue to mess with that needle of PC gaming haters and everything else where, you know, we talked about last week about, or well, I guess earlier this week about that whole thing with, oh, well, we'll stop buying exclusives as soon as Steam drops their, quota and everything else. Well, now they're not just buying games. They're buying in total studios because they went and bought, Psyonix. And this has led to speculation that means Rocket League is going to go off Steam. And, I mean, of course, yeah.
There is no speculation. They said it's going off Steam.
Well, Psyonix didn't. Like, they came back and tried to be a little bit coy about it. And, you know.
I mean, when this broke, I almost had a second where I immediately ran to Steam and bought it right then and there until I realized I don't like Rocket League and stopped myself.
Yeah, plus we got it free on PlayStation ages ago, so we can really play it whenever we want.
Yeah, that's exactly where I played it the first time. I played it, I think, for, like, 2 months, and then I haven't touched it again. But it's a really fun game.
Yeah.
Well, yeah, I understand why people are upset.
I get it. It's an esport thing.
Yeah, if you're playing that seriously, I guess you're being forced into the Epic storefront, which, you know, sucks for some people.
It doesn't help you at all with this continued thing with between Steam versus Epic of, oh, well, I was great on this on PC, and it's the only place I had it because I don't have a console, and now I got to go buy it on Epic Store. I mean, that's pretty shitty.
It's the same way when, like, you know, Microsoft bought all the studios last year. It's like, well, it's a bummer, but I don't really care, I guess, because I don't like most of their games.
I mean, that's kind of helpful for those studios, and I guess it does help Psyonix because now they can, as they say it, like, significantly increases their potential reach and resources and all that stuff, you know. So good for the developer, but not great for, I guess, people that had it on Steam or wanted to buy it on Steam.
Yeah.
Speaking of potential games here, even though Ubisoft had already announced that Ghost Recon Wildlands was getting DLC, even though it's an old game, you know what? I'll give Ubisoft a lot of credit. They still support their old games a ton. I mean, For Honor just got a new class. Wildlands is getting new DLC. And now there's supposedly a possible new announcement involving the Ghost Recon series in a few days. Some people are hoping it's Wildlands 2, which would be kind of weird considering you're just releasing DLC for the first one still.
But not that unusual for Ubisoft. I mean, they've pulled those sorts of things.
True. But could it be another Ghost Recon kind of game, though? I mean,
they'll support a game right up until the point where the next game comes out.
There's other Ghost Recon games.
They're still supporting that For Honor game.
Yeah.
Yeah. Sean just, yeah.
Oh, I thought you were talking about Wildlands.
You haven't wanted to go play the new Odyssey DLC, Mark?
No, because it costs money.
Oh, I heard it's pretty good, actually.
Like, if we'd been smarter, we should have grabbed that season pass, because then I could have reviewed Assassin's Creed 3 as well.
We didn't necessarily need that, but sure.
I guess more Wildlands is fun, but I mean, aside from Jens, no one is clamoring for more fucking Wildlands. Like, people want...
There's a lot of people clamoring for more Wildlands. Well, people still play that game a lot.
More people are clamoring for Splinter Cell.
Well, yes. Yeah.
But
I mean, I would enjoy a new Splinter Cell myself. I mean, Mark, I think that's the first game that we ever played together online was Splinter Cell Blacklist.
Yeah, on the 360. And it like had horrible network code.
Yeah, that's true. But man, another Wildlands. That first Wildlands was a game that I felt had the potential to be really great, but was brought down by a variety of baffling design decisions that kind of in confluence made it aggressively tedious to play. But those are all things that I think are pretty easily fixable on a second iteration. Like, if they can address the travel times and the difficulty balancing and the content bloat, then Wildlands 2 could be really strong.
Oh, yeah.
Certainly. I mean, and if there's anything that they've shown, they'll go back and do that. They have a good track record of, like I said, supporting their games and not only that, trying to make them better. So if it is a new Ghost Recon, I mean, could it be like a new Advanced Warfighter or something, like another Ghost Recon type series?
Mm. I doubt it, because those games, I don't think they did too well. The one game I'd love to see from them would be like a new Rainbow Six Vegas.
Oh, yes.
I don't think, with Siege doing well, I don't think they're going to do another Rainbow Six type game at the same time.
They are related, but they're like Rainbow Six was like, you know, you busting, you know, NPC characters and had a story. Like, that's what I want.
Well, as long as Ubisoft gives Far Cry a break, I think we're all good.
Agreed.
On that one. They really do. Like, give it a break. You gave Assassin's Creed. Has some time to, you know, put that back into the think tank and try something new.
I mean, they tried new things with 5, but they were all changes for the worse, and everybody complained. And then it seems like they backtracked some with the last one. So
in Far Cry New Dawn, you get a double jump. It's hilarious.
Oh, that is an improvement.
And you get like stealth camo. And I was like, what?
That helps a little, I guess. You know what game made camo kind of famous? A little bit. Is Halo.
Mm.
And Halo, Master Chief Collection, of course, got announced a little while ago, coming to PC, finally. And now it's been announced that it's at least getting cross progression between PC and console, and perhaps might get cross play. As well, so that's a plus side. Speaking of, Mark, will you be interested at all in picking up Master Chief Collection?
If I can. I don't really like Halo that much, but I think playing it with a mouse and keyboard might be interesting. Especially like, well, Halo 2 is a bad game, I think. And I never finished Halo 3, I don't think.
Halo 3 is one of the better ones in the series.
Yeah, Halo 3
One is cool. I have fond memories of 1, and I liked Halo Reach quite a bit.
I'm excited that Halo Reach is coming to the Xbox One version, so it finally feels complete, because they got ODST as a make good for the multiplayer being broken for so long.
That's still my favorite.
Yeah.
ODST.
ODST is really good.
That's the one I really hated.
I like how we have differing opinions. Like, I liked ODST. Like, he didn't.
I know what... Jens liked ODST because of the jazzy soundtrack, but I hated the game because, like, you couldn't figure out where the next mission was. Like, it's just some big...
I like the hub world stuff. The hub world's good. It reminds me of that the Wolfenstein that came just before Machine Games took the series over.
Yeah, because they took it over because that Wolfenstein game didn't do well.
Yeah. But it was a good Wolfenstein game.
Like, it was Raven, I think.
Yeah.
Yep. Raven was a great developer, and now they're just making Call of Duty maps, I guess.
True.
They were doing, like, Call of Duty China. I don't know if that's still going on or whatever, and they're always cranking out new maps.
Well, if you do get it, let me know. We can, and they do crossplay. We can play together.
Well, I'm more shocked if that game is on Steam.
I thought they said it was coming to Steam.
No, that's what I meant. Like, I'm shocked it's coming to Steam.
Could you imagine if they made a deal with the Epic Store exclusives after all that? People waiting for it to come on PC, and then, oh, it's Epic Store exclusive.
Yeah.
I think you'd finally get just the boiling point for that one. Do you think it's weird they're, like, releasing it piecemeal, though, instead of just releasing it as a collection?
Well, I imagine it's going to probably be coming in pretty hot. I mean, look at the Xbox One version. So they're probably going to release, like, Halo 1, see how it works, see what needs to get fixed, and then they'll release Halo 2. And Halo,
well,
you know.
Reach is going to be first, and then they're going to do chronological order. So
I'm okay, but my point still stands. Like, yeah. Okay, they'll do Reach first, and then see how it, you know, what the issues are going to be, because, you know, it's not going to come in great, and then go from there.
Another mind-boggling thing for Microsoft is, okay, the multiplayer thing is going to be free if you already have the collection, but you have to pay to get the story mode or the firefight thing. But then if you have Game Pass, it's all there.
Yeah, they're trying to nickel and dime people.
Like, okay.
Like, they're the ones who've been trying for years to get, like, Xbox Gold onto, like, the PC.
Right,
and
yeah.
No one will take them up on that offer, because it'll be the end of that game. Imagine if, like, Call of Duty was like, okay, you can only play online right now or on PC or on Steam if you have Xbox Gold. There'd be no one playing that game.
No, yeah, no. That will die a death. Interesting thing for me when this announcement came, this last, like, news bit thing that we have of Tommy Tallarico, of course, took over and got the rights to Intellivision, and he's going to make a new one, the Intellivision Amico, for October 2020. Well, there's a new Earthworm Jim coming exclusive to that Intellivision Amico with a lot of the original team. They already had the first look for it. I didn't get to technically see it yet.
I don't care.
but I mean, I like the Earthworm Jim somewhat, but this is a weird move. Like, I can't imagine that it doesn't come to another. So you're going to have a whole new Earthworm Jim, and it's going to come to the Intellivision Amico.
Does it look like a... Earthworm Jim never looked like an Intellivision game.
No, it was
the Amico is, I guess...
the SNES or whatever.
Yeah.
Is it going to look like the old Earthworm Jim games? Is it going to have that kind of pre-rendered, pixelated look?
Well, I mean, this Intellivision is going to sort of have more of a... I don't know that it's going to look... The games are not going to look like the old Intellivision games. They're going to be souped up versions.
The game looks... No, the game does look very... Like, it looks like an old Earthworm Jim game, except better, you know?
Yeah.
That's cool. So it's like... It's so weird because, you know, it's a retro con... Or it's a new Intellivision, I guess.
It's like
it's still
that Atari.
Going for a retro...
It's yeah, like an Atari VCS thing. This is a 21st century 2D chip in architecture. Okay.
So you're going for a retro thing, but you're not going for the actual Intellivision retro thing. You're going for something that's like SNES level retro.
Right.
Well, no, like the controller is like this weird, fucked up looking thing that you can like power. Like, it has like wireless charging with the controller on the console, and you can also use your phone as a controller, and all this like other goofy shit. Earthworm Jim looked cool, and it had like somewhat funny humor and decent music for the time, but it was a bad playing game. One
plus
and
the
two.
Gun was cool.
Well, yeah, until you run out of ammo, and you're just having to whip enemies to death. I was like, this isn't fun.
I thought that once you get used to it, it is actually not a bad playing game. The problem of it is that it's just designed to fuck you over. It's a game that trolls you aggressively.
It's super hard. I mean, it's just not a fair game, I thought.
In the little mini games, you gotta like jump on the freaking cow and all that.
Yeah,
it's annoying. And
well, there's a mission in Earthworm Jim 2 where you have to walk the dog, and if the dog takes any damage, he turns into a monster and swallows you.
Yep.
And it drove me to the brink of insanity. I never finished that one.
Yeah.
But it's such a fuck you game. It's so deliberately designed. It's like, it's not that the design is bad, as Mark says. It's that it's deliberately designed to fuck you over at every corner. And I admire that to some degree, but I don't really, I'm not like a fan.
You're the one who likes Dark Souls, so it may only make sense.
Dark Souls is much fairer.
Yeah. I mean, this is back when these 8, 16-bit games, they were just hard and you had to deal with it. And... You know.
Do you think this will be any better or worse than those Bubsy games?
Well, this will be better than that. I mean, Bubsy sets a pretty low freaking bar, so I mean.
And again, they're not technically bad games; they're beautiful games.
Yeah, it's true.
And it's not Bubsy's trash.
Yeah, Earthworm Jim has a style that like.
It's not a fair comparison.
Didn't they make a freaking cartoon? Earthworm Jim
and Bubsy, yeah, both of them actually.
Oh yeah, there's an animated series.
Yeah, I mean Earthworm Jim. Bubsy did not deserve to have anything, but you know, whatever. I know some people like jokingly like that game. I can't believe that new one's getting DLC. Like, are those people insane?
They're trying to kickstart the DLC. That's how funny it got.
What's wrong with you? So apparently this Intellivision is going to have a bunch of 80s and 90s game re-releases and remasters. So I guess we can expect more stuff like this Earthworm Jim announcement.
Yeah. I mean, if it's souped up old Intellivision games, I'm interested in that because I like the Intellivision as a console. I played a lot of those as part of Game Room back when Game Room was a thing.
I feel like they're trying to not go that route because... They probably think it's not gonna. That might be something like they just add those in, right? And they don't make big announcements for them because people are gonna expect that. Well, it's in television, so play in television games. But that the big announcements, the big game announcements will be like those, like an Earthworm Jim, like another 90s game that hasn't seen the light of day in a while or whatever, you know?
Yeah, I'm assuming there'll be different tiers of downloads where it's like, okay, you can get, the classics for $2-3 a pop, and then here's your $20 new indie game or whatever that we're launching exclusively on the Amico.
I wanna know what indie developer is going to, you know, count their entire time of making this game for the Intellivision only.
Well, look at all those OUYA developers. I mean, they're rolling in the cash now.
Yeah, exactly. Well. Yeah, I mean, since we had a show earlier, a lot of the like bigger stuff from earlier in the week we already kind of talked about, but
they announced that Bloodstained: Ritual of the Night release date finally.
Yeah, for next month.
Yeah.
Which Stephanie like immediately was like, "Get me this." I'm like, "Okay." Weird that the Switch version is coming out like a week later.
I think that remastered like the trailer with the new art style looks bad. Like, they just turn the contrast up on the background elements, and it's like, this doesn't make it look any better. Like, the old style looked fine, I thought.
Nah, it's not that worst.
Yeah.
Ever decision. There could be worse things they could have done.
It's not looked great pretty much from its... Like, the concept art has always looked awesome, but it's never looked great in 3D from the beginning. So, I'm just kind of adjusting my expectations for that game, but... Still happy that they're making it.
I mean, you already got the Curse of the Moon thing, which is pretty great.
Yep.
Yeah, we got a spin-off out of it.
Well, sadly, we have to discuss a pretty important death. And especially if you're a Star Wars fan, Peter Mayhew, who is known for portraying Chewbacca in not only the old Star Wars films, but also in Force Awakens, he died at the age of 74. He even went on to coach the person that's currently doing Chewbacca for, well, he did it for Last Jedi and Solo and now for Episode 9. Yeah, I mean, Chewbacca was always one of my favorites when I think about Star Wars, so this is kind of sad for me. Do you guys have any...
I mean, I guess I have no attachment to him necessarily. Not to sound cold, I guess, but
no,
I just didn't know him. I guess I'm just kind of glad he didn't die on the 4th. Because all the May the 4th stuff, I already couldn't handle.
The thing that I noted from all of the various tribute posts is that, man, there are a lot of pictures out there of Peter Mayhew lifting or carrying around Carrie Fisher. Like, a lot. Like, he just seemed to like to pick her up.
And wouldn't you?
So, he was living a good life.
Also, there wasn't, like, a ton of negative posts about him. Like, there's no, like, oh, Mayhew was a prick or anything like that. So.
No, he seems to just be a nice guy. I also, I mean, other than obvious attachment from Star Wars, because that's what I know him from, but I'm trying to think of if I've seen him as an actor outside of that.
No.
Remember, because he had like one film to his credit or whatever when George Lucas found him, and then he just started being Chewbacca.
It's like saying, like, you know, the guy who was, you know, R2-D2 back in the day, like, what was his acting experience? It's like, well, he could fit in the costume pretty well. And
yeah.
It's good enough.
Ooh, he was on Dragon Ball GT as a voice actor? Does that mean anything to you guys?
Oh,
you Dragon
Ball fans?
I never
which
watched
character?
Susha?
Yeah, I never watched GT. No one should.
I love GT.
You monster.
GT was not bad. It was fine. Like, plus you got SS4 Goku, so...
Which has been erased.
I'm realizing the only other thing I've seen Peter Mayhew in is Sinbad and the Eye of the Tiger, where he played, I think, the Minotaur?
Both quality works.
Props to you for watching that movie. This is another thing that I've heard of this, like, a bunch, but I've never actually seen Willow. And apparently they're going to make a Willow television sequel series for Disney Plus, announced on a podcast.
It's well suited for that.
Yeah. Why not? I mean, Disney Plus might as well just get whatever they possibly can to draw any kind of attention. I mean, not that announcing that pretty much every freaking Disney animated movie is going to be there for, what, $7? It's made me not want to go buy the Blu-rays for all those things, because I have them all on VHS for my daughter, and I was like, you know what? If it's going to be all on Disney Plus, I'm just going to save myself some money.
Well, if you're looking for Willow on Blu-ray anyway, that one is hideously out of print and really expensive.
I will not do that. I'm sure that the movie will come to Disney Plus too. They're going to do a sequel.
That's true.
Not everyone needs to buy the Blu-ray as well.
Yeah, I don't know. That movie, it's good. You know, I mean, Warwick Davis plays basically a hobbit.
Right.
And, you know, Val Kilmer is a lovable rogue. There's like an era of 80s fantasy where everybody was doing almost Lord of the Rings.
Right.
And that's one of them for sure.
Well, this is a very just small week, because a week after Rage 2 comes out, and we'll probably take the headlines.
I am completely indifferent to that game. I don't know about you guys, but couldn't care.
I know some people that are really excited about it, and some people that are kind of just like, all right, I'll just wait till it drops in price. And
the only thing I care about is if you can play as John Goodman.
So Puyo Puyo Champions comes out for all the systems. What's weird is you were so excited for Puyo Puyo Tetris, and then this game comes out and you're like, oh, whatever.
Yeah,
that's exactly what surprised me too when we did that episode,
because I like Tetris. Like, I don't like Puyo Puyo. I don't know how to play it that well.
Yeah, now, to be fair, it is difficult.
It seems like entirely like random to me, in a sense.
It's totally, the fact that there's such high level play for it shows that it is not in any way random, but I just don't think you and I do not grasp we can't see through the code to make sense of it.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, the people that I've seen playing that game and that play it awesomely well, I mean, credit to them, that's pretty amazing. Life is Strange 2 Episode 3 is coming as well this week. I'm waiting for that entire thing to come out, and then I'll just start playing it.
Around Christmas?
Yeah. Around then, basically. Yakuza Kiwami 2 on PC. I mentioned that already, but if you like having your Yakuza games on PC, there you go. I know you liked it, Mark, so...
It was okay.
I hear those PC versions are good.
Yeah, if I was going to get one, I'd try to get Yakuza 0, though. Just because I'd really try to break it with the infinite money thing.
There you go. Saints Row 3 is coming to the Switch, which, you know, between Assassin's Creed 3 and this game, okay. Let's keep bringing old games that maybe don't need to come to the Switch, but... All right, and Mascarada Songs and Shadow is a 2.5D isometric RPG. It's kind of like Baldur's Gate that's coming to the Switch. And that's kind of it. So,
wait, you mean, yeah. Is it Masquerada?
Masquerada.
Okay, yeah. My friend who does our theme song did the music to that game.
Oh, that's cool. So, prof to Josh Welchel for doing the music on Masquerada. As well. And yeah, I think that's pretty much it for this week. I want to thank Jens for being on with us.
Of course.
But yeah, so if you like what you hear, you can always subscribe Video Games to the Max anytime we do a show, whether it's Jens and Mark doing Video Games to the Medium, if they're going to plan on doing any more of those, or just the regular show. E3 is about a month away, so we'll be doing all those E3 press conference shows and all that stuff and everything else. So, man, I can't believe it's almost here. And yeah, we'll be back next week. You can also subscribe to WTM Network. Mark has a preview for Warhammer Chaosbane. And there'll be more things coming along this week. Until then, we'll see you later, everybody.
Later.
Cheerio. All right, well, that was...
The right workspace is more than just square footage. It's an incubator of achievement, a magnet for talent. Your workforce unleashed. For 160 years, Savills has been bringing real intelligence to global real estate. Ensuring not just any space, but the perfect workspace. Because the most important dimension of a building is the human one. Savills. See what Savills can do for you at savills.us.
Commercial real estate challenges? For 160 years, companies around the world have trusted Savills for expert guidance and perfect workspace solutions. See what Savills can do for you at savills.us.